Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the Melchester Odyssey again. Here we are. In case you don't know, we're going through the best of the Roy of the Rovers, the 1980s, 208 pages of scorching soccer action with an introduction by Gary Lineker. We are at a point, quite a pivotal point. We're building up to something, aren't we?
Yeah.
In this, Roy is acquiring a lot of nemeses in this, and we're about to be introduced to a new one. But at the end of the previous episode, Roy had another run-in with Vic Guthrie. Vic Guthrie, of course, Super Brat, had ran off from the ground after being sent off, because Roy got him sent off, didn't he? Roy went full Lampard and told the referee that Guthrie had swung a punch at an opposing player. And there's a phone call for Roy in his office, and we left it. His face has just dropped because it's Penny on the phone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Roy thinks she's about to run off to Crete again, which we've worked out is his biggest fear.
Yeah.
His last time, it was just a living nightmare for him after a couple of days of
he had to do his own housework. Plus, he was starting to get paranoid that she might have a bit on the side over there.
Yeah.
Shirley Valentine style.
Well, yeah. So, at the beginning of the next issue, I'll not say what it says right at the top, because that's a little giveaway about what's going to happen. Mm. But it tells us Melchester Rovers had begun their first season in the second division with a tremendous 5-0 victory over Barnbury City, despite a childish display by Super Brat Vic Guthrie, who was eventually sent off. But now Roy, after receiving a telephone call from his wife, was driving home to yet another problem. What could it be? And Roy immediately identifies what and who it is in the first frame as he pulls into his driveway, and there's a white sports car there, and it's got lots of badges on it, all over it.
It's dirty too. It's sort of battered
scruffy.
Up.
Yeah, there's mud all up the side. It's covered in badges.
It's a car. It's a vehicle that speaks volumes about the owner. Like, there's something about a sports car that has faded. Do you know what I mean? A sports car that would have once been worth a lot of money and been prestigious that has clearly, like, is borderline scrap. The man who drives, or woman, who drives that car has got a very complex set of insecurities going on.
Yeah. So, and Roy says, look at the way he's parked his car. It seems my lovable, long-lost cousin hasn't changed one bit.
Fucking selfish parking. There is nothing I hate more than a selfish parker.
He's immediately identified who it is. It is his long-lost cousin. How do cousins become long-lost in these days?
They just fuck off and don't call you for a long time.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. As Roy hurried indoors, and Roy's looking fucking suave here. He's got a blue V-neck on. He's got a white shirt, open collar, red trousers. He looks every inch the early 80s football star.
And golf club member. He's golf ready.
And
that's what they were. Whenever they weren't in their playing or training kit, they had to be golf ready. And that's the thing about the golf smart casual look, is that you can waltz into any hotel bar or brasserie, right, and feel totally at home. You can lounge at home reading the Daily Express or watching the snooker, perfectly comfortable, right? But if someone calls up and says, listen, we've got a spare place, we're about to do nine holes at the golf club, you're like, there. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. He's golf ready at all times.
He is. And there, in Roy's living room, it says as Roy hurried indoors, and Penny and the kids are almost sort of cowering just in the doorway of the living room. And there, sitting in Roy's chair, in Roy's armchair, with his feet on the coffee table, is Arnie Mekiff. And this is Roy's cousin. And do you want to describe what he looks like, Sam?
This is one of my favourite ever frames in Roy the Rovers, this particular frame, frame two on this story, because Roy has come in and the dynamic that is sort of expressed through this illustration is amazing because, of course, Roy, in any situation, Roy is used to being kingpin number one, Billy Big Bollocks, the big cheese, right? He's always in control and he always knows what to do. But suddenly, Roy's whole universe is turned on its head because he walks in and there's his cousin, right? And
Arnie Mekiff,
right? And Arnie Mekiff has got a spiky face, right? A spiky face. He's got a face of a mischievous bastard.
Crooked nose, hasn't he?
He's got a crooked nose, spiky features, narrow, ratty eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And a smirk on his face, right? He is slumped in Roy's best armchair in a green lounge suit, right? Crumpled shirt, undone at the collar. Feet up, right, on Roy's best coffee table.
Yeah.
On the table it's been laid for dinner. Like someone, presumably Arnie.
Arnie's had something, hasn't he?
Has instructed Penny to give him some dinner on his lap, right? Penny, get me some scram. The snooker's about to start.
There's a good Sheila.
Yeah. Before your hubby gets home, knock us something up. And I won't be having it at the table. I'll have it just... here will do just fine. Because on the table, it's been laid with cutlery, a plate, and there is a bottle of brown sauce, bottle of ketchup, and a salt shaker. And
would you like ketchup or brown sauce, Arnie? You better bring them both. I like to mix them up.
It's my own creation.
You should try it. It's delicious.
We all have that in Australia. And bring some salt as well. I like to pour salt into it. Heaps of the stuff.
Okay.
Where's my pie, Pen? Oh, hi, Roy. Right, he sat there, it absolutely like king of the fucking castle with a smirk on his face. He's made himself immediately at home. And Roy comes in, and suddenly Roy goes from being Billy Big Bollocks, Lord of the Manor, to looking like a right fucking Lampard. Yeah. He's there in his V-neck, and he just goes, Arnie Mekiff! Arnie Mekiff! And Arnie goes, in the flesh, Roy, you little ripper. Hey! This pretty Sheila of yours can sure lay on a spread. Oh, my God.
Full Australia, isn't he?
I don't know what to feel about Arnie Mekiff, whether to love him or hate him. I think I'm veering towards love because he's just come in and sort of thought, fuck this. And anyway, he is his cousin and Roy is minted. So why shouldn't he be able to turn up and indulge himself in a bit of Roy's like wealth?
He's had the decency to stay away in Australia for all these years, so, you know, being long lost. So, you know, why not come back? I've worked out this storyline, is completely stolen from something else. Mm. And that is Mr. Fussy. Do you remember the story of Mr. Fussy when his cousin from Australia, Mr. Clumsy, comes to visit him?
His twat cousin.
Yeah.
Well, it's also very much like the premise of our favourite type of 80s sitcom. Which is when, what is it, a twat comes to live with you.
Yeah.
Two men and a twat.
Yeah.
Right, like Alf, Metal Mickey, Mork and Mindy, Happy Days, really.
Yeah, when the twat moved in, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even down to the green, there's that Mr. Fussy reference.
Yeah.
And it's you know, Mr. Fussy liked everything neat. He knew where everything was. Then all of a sudden, this cunt from Australia with his hair all unkempt wandered in and started tipping everything over, mixing the sauce up. It's just that.
Yeah, suddenly it makes you look at Roy in a new way where you think Roy thinks he's Jack the Lad, but in fact, he's a right fussy little tit.
Yeah.
Oh, get your feet off of my best table.
He's just a horrible control freak, isn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely is.
His boat is being rocked here.
Yeah.
So Arnie says, this pretty Sheila of yours can sure lay on a spread. And what about these two little beauts? He says about Roy's kids.
Pointing at the kids.
How's your left foot, sport? Got a rocket in it like your dad? Roy Jr., you know, who we've covered in great detail before. We haven't seen for a long time. In this, perhaps he's been away
caged.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
We've had him seen to. He's been up in the clinic being seen to for a while, but they've allowed him back out now.
He comes out for weekends, which is great because I'm always out all day Saturday. So yeah. I've only got Sundays to worry about, and I take him back about 4 p.m. on the Sunday so he can have his tea.
Stop off for a fucking happy meal if he's lucky, and then I dump him in there.
Dump him back in the compound. And Roy Jr. saying, don't like him, Daddy.
In a whisper speech bubble, which is the dotted line type.
That's the signifier of the whisper speech bubble, yeah.
Don't like him, Daddy. And Roy's like, nor do I, son. For once, we're in agreement.
Roy's just thinking it, though. Roy hasn't said it.
Yeah, I won't say it. Don't want to encourage the little cunt.
Roy said nothing.
He just stares back at Arnie Metcalf, doesn't he? Stares at him. What an unfriendly welcome. He just goes, Roy then goes to him, what do you want, Arnie? What do you want, Arnie? Just passing through, I hope. Right? Fucking hell. That's so rude. I mean, what exactly has Arnie done to him in the past, other than just been a bit messy?
Well, we might find out a bit later on, might we? Because there's obviously bad blood there. What do you want, Arnie? Just passing through, I hope. And Arnie says, come on, Wonder Man. That's not an Australian accent, fucking hell. Don't be like that. All I need is a few days' lodgings until I find my feet, as you might say.
Just runs up the stairs without a bind or leave. In the next caption, he's just got his two fucking suitcases, which are classic suitcases with stickers all over them from all the different parts of the world he's been to, and he's running up Roy's stairs. Just saying, the spare room will do fine. First lift the top of the stairs, I think you said, Penny. Hey, now wait a minute, Arnie. He just makes himself at home. He's like Teddy Sheringham turning up at Man U for the first time, isn't he?
Definitely.
Full of bravado and confidence, yeah. I think, you know, it's nice to have a house guest.
Especially
one who's fun and full of beans like this.
Mm. You say it's nice to have a house guest, but it's not, is it? Really, ever.
I haven't had a house guest in years. When we were kids, we used to have them non-stop. Our house was like a fucking hostel for waifs and strays. Anyone who'd run into trouble or found themselves booted out or broken up with someone, my mum would take them in. And they'd always have pets with them, and the pets
fucking
start
hell.
Having fucking kittens. It was fucking madness. Yeah, there was this one time we had about 10 different fucking animals in our house.
I think the listeners would also be interested to know that you just mentioned there you wrote a book about your childhood. What's that called? Yeah.
It's called Night of the Living Dad. It's not entirely about my childhood, but there's a lot of it. I wrote it like when my daughter was born, about, you know, the experience, the first year of being a dad. But as part of that, I do a lot of reflecting on my own childhood, because you compare, don't you? When you first have a kid, you're a lot of the time, and still as you throughout your life as a parent, you compare your own childhood at times, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't help it, because you sort of think, what were the good bits and what were the bad bits of my childhood, and how can I apply those lessons
to
now?
Search that out, listeners.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dad. I mean, it's a pretty old book. I think it came out in 2010. It's probably like, you'd probably pick it up on Amazon for like literally a penny or something like that. So fill your boots.
Hey, Amazon, and not delivering stuff for like a month now. If you order something off Amazon, the delivery date's like end of April.
Depends what it is, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, But, I mean, you know, who wants anything that's essential? Like jigsaws and stuff, they're not coming straight away.
Yeah, what they need to do is explain to us what they regard as essentials. Because I would say that at a time like this, jigsaws would be right up there with insulin.
I would say so,
I don't know if Amazon deliver insulin. But they might not. And I'm saying, who's making these decisions? Bezos? Why does Bezos get to decide what's an essential? I don't know.
I had a very famous 1980s pop star in my private messages on Instagram yesterday complaining that he couldn't get any jigsaws and asking us where I got mine from.
Tell us who it was.
Nah.
That's amazing.
Nah.
Oh, I bet it was Carol Decker.
I'll tell you and I'll beep it out as well.
Just about the funniest person it could be.
That's who you'd expect to be at the jigsaws, wouldn't you?
I can picture him doing a jigsaw. I can picture him doing jigsaw with an intense look of, like, focus on his face.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Anyway, let's crack on. Where are we? Yeah, so Arnie Mekiff is hurtling up the stairs to the spare room. First left at the top of the stairs, I think you said, Penny.
Can you imagine how fucked off Roy is with Penny? Well, I think we're about to find out.
He'll be up there, and within 5 minutes, he'll have like loads of page three pictures glued, tacked onto the wall, won't he?
I hope you don't mind, but I brought my own mucky pictures to stick up.
I didn't
just
have
to make myself feel at home.
I didn't have to be able to source any quickly here in Britain, so I brought me own.
I'm reading a book called
Can
a bit
I Borrow
of a
Your Blue Tack?
I'm reading that book, A Bit of a Stretch, that's out at the moment, about a bloke who was like a TV producer.
Oh, Chris Atkins, yeah.
Yeah, and he ended up in Nick. It's quite interesting. There's some funny bits, like he ends up in a cell with a mad Romanian who has covered every single inch of the cell wall, right, with pictures from Dirty Mags. Yeah, real grot, right? And he's quite intimidating, the bloke, so he can't save it. So he has to go to bed in this bunk, right? Because it's not like you'd have thought he'd do it next to his own bed. But no, he's done it everywhere. So he wants a situation where his eyes can't be anywhere unless they can see a naked woman, right?
Yeah.
And so Chris Atkins is learning, and oh, this is awful. He's got a kid who's like about 4 years old, right, who he really misses. Like, the main source of pain for him in prison is how much he misses his son. So he has to get a picture and stick it on the wall. But he says the sort of heartwarming effect of the picture of my 4 year old son is slightly lessened by the fact that he's surrounded by vaginas. And the Romanian's really fucked off that he stuck a picture of his son up, because like it blocks out a tiny amount of the pornography.
Oh man, so good book then, good recommendation for Isolation
Time.
It's a good read. Good, I'll get that after I've read Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so yeah, Arnie's away up the stairs. It says, as Roy's cousin went thudding upstairs, and Penny starts to make her excuses. She goes, sorry, Roy, he just came barging in and made himself at home. Is he the dreaded Arnie you've mentioned in the past? And Roy says, unfortunately, yes. So Penny doesn't even know him. This bloke's just fucking barged in, and Penny's just
gone along with it.
Oh, would you like some dinner? It could be anyone.
G'day, I'm your husband's cousin. Got anything in the fridge? Got anything in the fridge? Oh, I'll see.
What kind of sauces have you got?
What kind of sauces you got in your larder?
So he literally could be any cunt. I mean, Roy is the most famous footballer in the land.
I know.
And this bloke's just stormed into his house, and Penny's got no way of verifying who he is.
It would be like someone turning up at David Beckham's house.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door and saying to Posh Spice, I'm David's cousin. Let us in. That contract killer. My spouse contract killer, who once claimed he was David Beckham's uncle in order to try and pull a 16-year-old. He'd be like, ah, hello, Victoria. It's me, Uncle Charlie. Is David in? No, all right, then. Just let us in and get the sauces out while I wait.
I'm David's cousin. Have you got any pork chops I could have?
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So he says, unfortunately, yes, Arnie emigrated to Australia with his family about 15 years ago. Whenever he shows up, he's either in trouble or he wants to borrow money. And I've been weak enough to oblige him, but he's in for a disappointment this time. So he's one of them. He's one of those leeches that some families have.
Yeah.
Just turn up demanding money all the time and you can't get shot of them. But there we go. Turn over the page and whoosh, we're on to Monday morning. Things have changed. Roy's outfit's changed slightly. It's now a red V-neck top with a yellow polo neck underneath.
He's still golf ready though, isn't he?
Some mustard trousers, could be cords, could be just slacks, not sure. But yeah, he's golf ready, definitely. And Arnie has cleaned up his act. He's got a blue suit on now.
He's wearing a nice double-breasted blue suit now. He looks quite good.
Yeah, he's got a nice white tie with blue spots on it.
His haircut's still like someone out of Kasabian though.
Yeah, he's run a comb through it though. It's slightly better than it was on Saturday evening. But, you know, it had a long flight. And Roy's saying, you're going out to try and find a job. And Arnie says, that's the ticket, Roy. Got to try and pay my way after all. Wish me luck, sport. Arnie's off to find a job.
He's full of complete shit. As if he's going down the job centre.
Yeah,
I could work on the sewers, no problem. Great. Sounds right up the street. I'll take whatever you got.
He's probably just gone round to the offices of the Sun and gone, I was wondering if you need a boob inspector for page 3. I can do that for you.
And if it helps, I can sell you as many stories as you want on Roy Race. Let's just say.
Yeah.
Let's just say I've got a pretty good source.
Arnie arrives into the UK and all of a sudden loads of exposés on Roy Race appear in the tabloids. What's the connection there? So I don't know what sort of job he's going to try and get, but he whizzes off in his sports car. and Roy thinks, maybe Arnie's changed. Although I doubt it. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. And we will have to wait and see, because that's the last we see of Arnie Mecca for this one.
That's Arnie gone for this episode.
For now. But trust us, he'll be back. And then Roy's thoughts were on other things as he arrived at the Melchester Stadium an hour later. And he's barging his way through the assorted members of the press. The ginger, curly-headed character who usually fills the spaces there. Noel Baxter.
Noel Baxter by another name.
And the press men are all saying, Roy, what's the latest about Vic Guthrie? After the trouble he caused in Scotland and now they're sending off, are you going to suspend him? I mean, fucking hell, he should have suspended him long before now, really. But he probably will. And Roy says, sorry, lads, no statements till I've discussed the situation with the player. Just fucking tell him he's sacked. Fucking get rid of him. But then, another bombshell. It says, but as Roy changed and went out onto the pitch, he forgot all about the Rovers super brat because he has a new distraction. And there's another ginger-haired figure running about on the pitch. With his socks rolled down, which of course signifies a skillful player.
Maverick.
A maverick, yeah. And he goes, what the? It's Kenny. Kenny Logan. And it is. It's Kenny Logan, who we've not seen for a while. And then we've got one of those very imposing frames that appear just fully text. Almost, you know when you used to be a kid and the news flash would come on? And you kind of shit yourself a bit and think, fuck, what's happening here?
That's it, the Russians are here.
Because we didn't have rolling news then. And if something big happened...
Exactly. Now Sky have made it where they could announce anything and you wouldn't you just wouldn't notice because they everything's breaking news. But back then, and you would always immediately think World War III, the Russians have sent a bomb. You'd always think it was, what's his name? Who were the good news readers then? Baker. One of them was called Baker, wasn't
Kenneth Baker and Richard, what was he called? Fucking Richard thingy. That was Richard Baker. It was Richard Baker and Kenneth Kendall. That's what it was.
That's it.
Kenneth Baker Kendall was a government minister, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Different thing altogether.
He was a right bastard.
Yeah.
So Kenneth Kendall, was that his name?
Yeah.
Kenneth Kendall. He was the best one. And you just imagine him coming on and go, the Soviet Union have sent a communication to the Prime Minister giving warning that they have launched a nuclear warhead aimed at Britain.
Yeah.
The warhead is expected to make impact in the Cheltenham area. They were always heading for Cheltenham first, weren't they? Because that's where GCHQ was.
Yeah, clever.
And they go, within the next half an hour,
say goodbye
citizens
to your
are advised to take precautions.
Get
under
never
the
said
fucking
that.
Table, son.
But, you know, the news flash was always massive, wasn't it? Because it would just cut straight into a programme. It would just fade mid-programme.
Oh,
and the fucking horror. We were in, me and my daughter were in Sainsbury's a couple of weeks ago, just as the isolation thing was about to kick in, and a voice came over the tannoy, "Hello, I'm Dermot O'Leary." And it turned out he was just advertising Sport Relief, I think, or his new book or something like that, or World Book Day. But my daughter just went, "Oh God, he's going to announce the end of the world." I think if Sainsbury's weren't going to do that, they would have someone like Dermot O'Leary to do it, wouldn't it?
I think he'd be a good choice. He'd probably be my choice.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, there's something about there. Like, funny you should bring him up, because this morning I was out doing a run and I usually like listening to Six Music, as you know. Mm. But they've done this thing this morning, which is BBC sing along, where all of the radio stations sort of united, right? So they had, and each of them played a song that had been a sing along feel good song that had been nominated by their listeners.
Right.
So you had Greg James on Radio 1 first, then you had Dermot O'Leary's doing Radio 2, I don't know where Zoe Ball is, and then Six Music and Asian Network and One Extra. Right. Dermot O'Leary came on, and the song that he played was Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond, right? Which, apart from anything else, I can tell you, when you're running along by the river, the sun reflecting off the water, the blossom in the trees, and not a fucking soul about, like you've got the whole fucking stretch to yourself. And Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond's babe, I can tell you, mate, it's a hell of a feeling. I was
life
fucking I felt like fucking King Kong, right? But Dermot O'Leary, there's something about his manner that you just think, it's fine.
Yeah.
Dermot's fine. I'm fine.
Everything's all right.
Dermot's
that was it,
chuckling along. Like, I just think, I mean, they should be thinking about getting Dermot up there, put Dermot up there at those, like, evening briefings, maybe.
Definitely. Well, they seem to be stopping to put anybody important up for them now, so maybe put Dermot up.
Well, he just seems like he's got authority as well.
Yeah.
There's something about him that I believe what he says.
Yeah. It's for all those years doing X Factor, I think.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And I love the way as well he often spins around for no reason at the end of announcing something. Do you know how he does that? He's always got a card in his hand. He announced something, and then he does a 360 spin.
He'll do the spin.
Right? And I would love him to do that at the nightly briefings.
Do you think Len might have got the swearing spin from that?
I don't know, because he's never watched X Factor.
I don't know. Okay.
Len's ideas and are usually quite organic.
Yeah. Decent description, fair enough. So we've got this news flash. We've got this news flash, and it just says, Roy had given 18-year-old Kenny Logan a trial during a close-season tournament in Scotland and had been vastly impressed with the lad. But Roy had clashed with Kenny's father, who wanted the boy to enter the family business and was bitterly opposed to him becoming a professional footballer. So there we are. You're brought up to speed on the plot.
That's just when what's-his-name. I always think that's when what's-his-name's got a little bit of a hangover.
Deal
and he just thinks, and he's just like, I could tell this part of the story with like two or three frames of exposition dialogue, right, recap. But fuck that. I'm just going to write it all down. It's quicker.
Yeah.
Save myself a bit of fucking drawing.
Yeah. he's been doing it with Letraset as well, and it's all over the place, really.
Yeah.
He says, so Roy says, does this mean your dad has had a change of heart, Kenny? And Kenny says, no way, Roy. He doesn't even know that I've come down here. Fucking hell. And
ask
Kenny goes on.
Trouble.
Anyway, as I said, I'm old enough now to vote. Old enough to make up my own mind. Are you going to turn me down just because my daddy wants me to be an estate agent?
I'm old enough to ride a wee lassie, given half the chance. Not
I'm
that,
old
after
to ride a motorbike and a lassie at the same time if I want to.
Right, the truth is, I've never had much luck with the lassies, and that's one of the reasons I want to come down here so you can show me your ways.
I'm old enough to go to war and disembowel a man with a dagger with one of those serrated edges, if I so chose to.
I could carve a man's lungs out in a war situation, and they'd give me a medal, and yet my daddy won't let me kick a football around.
I'm not quite old enough to have sex with another man, but if I wanted to, I could probably just go to some public toilets and hang around for a while and something would happen.
Apparently there's a lot of peculiar business up on the heath.
Melchester Heath.
I was wondering if you and Blackie could take me up there just to watch, you know, not to just get involved.
Just show me the ropes, maybe. Introduce me to one or two people.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Kenny.
All in good time.
We'll
first,
probably
let's
end up in the woods
kit.
Tonight, Kenny. Have you brought a spade from Scotland with you?
Yeah, it's a little bit of work I might be able to put your way as it goes. Give Blackie a hand with some digging that needs doing.
So Roy says, we'll see. Stick that bib on and let's see how you shape up in a practice match. I mean, he's already had the kid playing for him in a full-scale friendly up in Scotland in front of a full house. But, you know, get him in the practice game just to see if he's still got it. And Kenny says, wahoo! I'm still the superstar that you saw in Scotland, boss. And he is, you see there in the next frame. He's up against Noel Baxter as Ginger v Ginger. He puts the ball in the back of the net past Charlie Carter. And listen to what he says as he puts the ball in the net. That's where it belongs.
Oh, the cocky little bastard.
Fucking hell. And Noel Baxter
he's not going to make
ugh.
Friends quickly it, with that sort of fucking carry
definitely,
on, is he?
Definitely, yeah. Roy's going to feel threatened here. Noel Baxter says, oh, where'd he come from? Roy thinks, right off Noel Baxter's boot. So
right, I'll have to give that little bastard a reducer. I'll go through him four-footed. Next time he gets the ball, I'll finish the cunt.
I might cripple him. He might be out for 9 months, but, you know, it'll make him a better player.
When he comes back, he'll have a better attitude. Consider this tackle a long-term investment. Bang!
Someone dial 999.
I'm about to do this, cunt. I always get him to call in advance. That's where the ambulance gets here quicker. Blackie, call 999. Watch this.
I'm not an animal. Call ahead first. And Roy thinks, that does it. I'm signing Kenny on a full contract no matter what his dad says. But
his
surely Mr.
Off.
Logan, surely Mr. Logan won't follow him all the way from Scotland.
Yeah.
Or will he?
Well, it was the 80s, mate. I mean, he's probably thinking, bruh, most cars back then would struggle to get that
couldn't
far without breaking
down. Because we worked out Melchester's in the north somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
North of England. You're not going to get from Scotland to the north of England.
Cars broke down constantly, didn't
all the
they,
time.
In the 80s? Like, yeah. You'd never have embarked upon a journey with any sense of security.
No, not at all.
That was like, outside anywhere outside of your own city, really. But, like, you would never think, like, now, pretty much any car you've got, you wouldn't think twice about jumping in it and driving to Scotland, would
Josh,
you?
Did you ever have your windscreen shatter? We had that once when we were out driving.
Yes.
The windscreen shattered. Fuck.
Cars were fucking dangerous, man. Like, I would always be scared when I was on a long journey because
right.
I would expect for something bad to happen, and it usually did.
Yeah. It would
if
be
you were
too
on a
hot.
Long journey on the motorway.
You'd have no entertainment. You'd have boiled sweets.
The plastic seats would get all sticky. If it was summertime, you'd be wearing shorts and your flesh would stick fast to the plastic seat.
Yeah, you'd have to peel yourself off the seats.
The smell of the car was disgusting, especially when it got hot.
We didn't have backseat seatbelts even back then. It was like, fuck, you'll be all right. You used to climb around on the seats and
hold on to the handle.
Yeah. We'd climb around on the seats or stand up in the bit in between the two front seats and have a look.
My mum, there's a humpback bridge near where my brother lives, and every time we see it now, if I'm with my mum, she goes, "Ah, I always remember you climbing out of your baby seat on that bridge," because she reckons we were driving along and I was like two or something. I still had the baby seat, and she went, the radio was on, so she couldn't hear it happening. And suddenly I was fucking clambering into the front just as she was getting to the brow of this really steep humpback bridge. And she was like, literally jumped out of her skin, like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "Oi, oi."
You'd do that. You'd say, "Can I sit on your knee in the front, mum?" And you'd climb through from the back, sit on your mum's knee, no seatbelts, and the windscreen would shatter and the fucking wheel would come off and fuck.
My mum always had old bangers. Like, so her car in particular, we'd always have like some car you picked up for like £100 and was falling to pieces. And so we'd always end up in bad scrapes. But the worst thing that we ever did in the car was self-inflicted, because my mum had this car, and she used to have to, because my brothers were serial truants, she had to like do a thing where she drove them to the school. There was a period where there was like an agreement with the school, she had to drop them at the gates even though they were quite old, because their truancy was so out of control. She had to see them go in the gate. But of course what they'd do is they'd go in the front and then straight out the back anyway, so it was pointless. But during this period she had this old banger. It was like a Ford Escort, the old shape Ford Escort. And she would, the old shape, I mean, like, they were almost like mini Capris. You know that stuff?
Yeah.
Sort of Ford Escort. Sort of before the Essexy GTI one came in. It was like a squished, I think it was an Escort. Anyway, and the other funny thing about it, we used to call it the tortoise because it was painted with a paintbrush. You could see the paint stroke.
Oh, nice,
It was green, but it had been hand-painted with, like, house paint. Right.
My mate did that with his car once. Inexplicable. It's like a
really awful look. Like, we had bought it like that. But anyway, my mum, like, to me, I was going to primary school. My brothers had to be dropped their school. And then she'd pick up a couple of their mates along the way. So we'd all be crammed into this fucking tiny car. And my mum stopped at a petrol station. And she was so panicked about getting to work on time, getting us all to school in time, stopping the arguing in the car. She forgot to take the pump out of the car. And she drove off with the pump still, the nozzle still in the fucking petrol tank, right? She pulled the fucking petrol tank over.
Fucking hell. Right?
Because she took off and the petrol tank went, ah, and fucking petrol came out of it, right?
Yeah.
Chaos. Like, utter fucking chaos in the forecourt lockdown of this Esso. Yeah. Madness. Right? And my mum's crying. And everyone's arguing crying in the back. Everyone's crying, screaming. My brothers are all like blaming each other. I'm like, "Oh, what's going on?"
The petrol station staff are crying. They've all got biohazard suits on.
Yeah, because she's like, "Fucking hell, that amount of petrol that's leaked out, I might owe them like £1 million. I'll be paying this off in instalments forever." That was a bad morning.
Yeah. Fucking hell. That's it then. We're, you know, he's wondering if Kenny Logan's dad's going to come. Are you rattling things again?
Yeah, sorry, mate. Get a bit rattly towards the end of a podcast.
He's going to wonder if Kenny Logan, I mean, you know, this was the age of the train, according to Jimmy Savile back then, so, you know, you could quite easily jump on a train and come down to Manchester. So I think we'll see Kenny Logan's dad again.
But, oh, we'll be back. Don't worry about
hopefully
that.
We'll see Arnie Metcalfe again as well.
So many different problematic characters and enemies around Roy and his life at the moment. It's interesting, isn't it?
It's almost like it's leading up to some kind of tragic incident. And it says next week, Rovers serve up some fantastic football. So that'll be good in Division 2.
It's a bit of a cop-out preview, isn't it?
I mean, it says my mark's out of 10 for this story, but fuck me, it's a 10, isn't it?
It's a 10. Yeah, I mean, once Metcalfe's got involved, it's a 10. Anyone with him in is a 10.
Yeah. So there we are. That's that one. We'll be back next week, find out what happens next. Thanks for listening and all that. Cheers, TTFN.
Keep it comfy, lads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.